Charlie Silvera, because we grew up together as kids in San Francisco. We played together for a long time. But, you know, I was close to Yogi because we roomed together. I was very close to Ralph Houk, still am, because we roomed together. Close to the pitchers, Reynolds and Rashi and Lopat and Whitey. And was good friends with Johnny Sain, Tom Morgan, all good friends. And I liked Billy Johnson. We competed for the same job, but he was just a first-rate guy and a first-rate player. So, I don't want to leave anybody out. They were all just awfully good guys. Gil McDougall has been a lifelong friend. Gene Woodling and Hank Bauer, terrific guys. And Cliff Mapes was a nice guy. And Georgie Sternwise had the tragic end, and he was a good person. And all the first basemen, Joe Collins and George McQuinn and Moose Garin and Eddie Robinson, and Dick Krihowski, and all just super guys, you know. And I'm sure I didn't, Tommy Henrik and Tommy Byrne, I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay. I just liked them all. I thought they were great.
That's great. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about being president of the American League. Is there a typical day for the American League president in terms of what he does, how he functions?
Well, not really. You never can tell. I guess there's always surprises. You know, you're always got problems if there's a fight or if an umpire gets sick or if they have some kind of a scheduling problem with rain and whatnot. Those things always come up. And then, of course, you're involved in all of the business part of baseball, even though people don't realize that you're on every committee, so that you're involved in all of the major decisions that take place in baseball. So you never know exactly when they're going to have a committee meeting or when they're going to have a conference call or what emergency will come up next.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to, I'm glad you said that, because that's, I think, what the average fan doesn't realize what the presidents of the leagues are involved in, and I'm glad you mentioned that. What are those meetings that you're talking about, those are the specific decisions that are made in terms of expansion or what have you, those kind of things?
Well, everything, because you meet with the executive council, and they're involved in all the major issues of baseball. You're meeting with the ownership committee, where they're determining the various transactions that are going on between prospective buyers and sellers of teams. And, you're on the PRC that's dealing with the labor negotiations. You're on the expansion committee that's evaluating that particular problem. You're on the rules committee looking at rules and rules changes. And so you're really on everything. And you never can predict each day what's going to come up that's going to involve you. I know that the writers think that, you know, all the league president does is sign a few balls and watch games, you know. But there's more to it than that.
I figured there was. You mentioned the fights and incidents of charging the mound and so on. In your opinion, is it more prevalent now or less prevalent than, say, maybe when you played or than maybe a few years ago? Or is it getting more attention? What would you say about that?
Well, we never did any of that stuff when we played. We settled those things in a different way. I mean, the hitter got plunked and they thought it was deliberate. Someone on their side got plunked, and then everybody went on playing the game. Somebody hit one in the Yankee Stadium that almost reached West Point, and you were the next hitter. You better be a little bit careful, because the pitcher's not going to be very happy, and he might come a little close. And you understood that, and you went on about your business. Nobody ever talked about the inside of the plate or the outside of the plate. The plate was the plate. Mm-hmm. You didn't think that say that a pitcher couldn't pitch on the inside part of the plate or he couldn't pitch on the outside part of the plate. He just felt that, that's where he was going to pitch. He was going to pitch all over to try to get you out. And you adapted accordingly. I guess the game was a lot easier in that respect in those days. I think if somebody wanted to fight and had to settle it, they'd settle it somewhere else. They wouldn't settle it on a field where somebody could interrupt it. And that didn't happen very often, really. But So that is a change, and I think that there just seems to be now in all sports and in all society, more of a, you know, a macho atmosphere where, you know, certain people think they have to protect their turf and all that stuff. You know, we just didn't have all that business.
Is there anything you think that could be done to curtail those types of things?
Well,
at least in baseball, anyway.
You know, I've certainly haven't been successful since I've been here stopping it. The fights stay about the same. The people think they're a lot more prevalent now, but they, if you go back over the last 10 years, we average, you know, 5 to 8 fights a year, and that's well over 1,000 games. So that people think they occur all the time, but they don't occur that frequently. But yeah, I guess the only way that eventually it's going to happen is if the penalties continue to get more severe, and if it gets worse and worse, that they might finally get the word. The union doesn't help much because they scream all the time that nothing is being done, but they don't, you know, you got player against player, you got dues-paying member against dues-paying member, and as far as I know, they've never taken it up in any of their meetings and whatnot. And any time that you discipline a player, no matter what the fine is or what the suspension is, of course the union comes in and pleads the case, whether it's the hitter, the pitcher, or anybody else. So I think that makes it a little bit more difficult to deal with it, just the whole grievance process that goes on with the union. It makes it more difficult because the punishment takes a while before it can be levied, and it's more cumbersome. It takes away from the effectiveness of the punishment procedure.
The grievances are heard before an arbitrator? Is that
no,
how
they
how do they heard?
They can appeal to me. So they come to me to argue about what we've done to them, and they present their side of the case.
Right, but don't you still have the final say?
I have the final say. They can, under with certain provisions, if the suspension is over 10 days or 10 days or more, and if the fines are over $500, they can appeal to the commissioner.
Now, currently there's no commissioner, so how are those grievances then heard then?
They would appeal to the Bud Selig or to the executive council.
Okay, and then they would hear the...
If some player wanted to do that, that's where the appeal would be heard.
I see.
It doesn't happen very often. I think it's only happened maybe once or twice since I've been in the league president.
Okay, about suspensions. How are lengths of suspensions and amounts of fines arrived at? Is there a precedent in terms of what has happened in the past, or do you judge each on its merits, or how do you do that?
Well, it's there's no set way. Obviously, in the last few years, the fines have started to increase in amounts because of the salaries increase in amounts, and you can't get a player's attention with what used to be a reasonably significant fine. So the fines are increasing. The suspension, the time out for a suspension, it varies if you're a player or a pitcher. And if you're a pitcher, whether you're a starter or a reliever, took someone who was relieving and you suspended him for 5 or 7 games, that might be a much greater punishment than you would for a starter who might just miss his turn, but pick up a start a day or two late. So you have to take all that into consideration. And you usually don't, or at least I don't, suspend a player for the same length of time that I suspend a starting pitcher.
I see, okay. What are your feelings about the designated hitter? You mentioned before, of course, in fact, when you played, there was none. What do you think about it now, and what should be done about it, if anything?
Well, you know, there's arguments pro and con as to whether or not it's bad that one league has it and one league doesn't. Of course, it provides for reams of writing and articles about it, and lots of arguments, and people say that's good for baseball if you've got something like that going on. Our owners have always been pretty much in favor of it. I accept it. My wife likes it,
okay.
Which I think the average fan likes it. The avid fan and the purist does not. The only thing that I could say is that in baseball, the thing that has, one of the things that's always appealed to me about baseball is that you can't hide any weaknesses. And it's a constant judge. If you want the good fielder to be in there that can't hit, or the good hitter that can't field, or if you want the pitcher to hit when he's a pretty good hitter or not a good hitter and he's pitching well, those are the things that I always think make baseball so attractive. And the designated hitter takes a little bit away from that.
If it were up to you, what would happen to the DH?
Well, I think at this point that I better withhold any judgment on that.
Okay. I understand you are retiring from this office. Is that right?
That's right. They should be voting on my replacement at the next meeting, and I would guess that I'm not sure when that person will report, but I'll stay long enough to make sure that person knows what goes on in the office, and then I'll go home.
Okay. Why is it that you're leaving this office? Have you said enough? Or?
Well, I think it's about time. I'm going to be turning 70 this fall, and I've been here 10. This will be my 11th year, and I just feel that probably good for me to do something different, and probably good for baseball to get some different ideas.
What do you think you might do?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to play a lot with my 10 grandchildren. I'm going to play a lot of tennis, get settled in our home in Fort Worth, and then I'll see what shows up.
Okay. Last question is, what do you see for the future of this game? Do you have any ideas about what baseball may be like in the future?
Well, I think if they don't get a reasonable labor agreement where everybody can do well, present time you have a few owners that are doing well, you have most of the owners who are not doing well, you have virtually all the players doing well, there has to be a better balance, and there's enough there to go around. I would hope that they would get a reasonable labor agreement so that everybody can play on the same field and have a chance of surviving. I think without that, there's going to be some severe problems. I think you would hope that the attitudes would change a little bit, where players in our sport, and maybe all sports, would be more available to the public, more available to do some of the good things in society that need to be done. You would hope for that, and I would hope that the game doesn't become just a TV game where all the changes are done for the benefit of the TV and the audience, and that they don't forget that in the long run it's the person that comes to the park and pays to get in that really counts, and that there ought to be a level where the admission price stays in the reach of everyone, and that the seasons don't become too long or too onerous, and that they don't try to gimmick up the game to imitate other sports where the gimmicks seem to appeal to people.
Do you see more expansion in the future for baseball?
Well, it's very difficult to schedule for 14-team leagues. I've always said that it's a nightmare to schedule, to kind of get the kind of a schedule that is effective and fair. Much easier to schedule if you've got segments of 4 or 8, so that I would think that at some time in the 21st century, perhaps they're going to have 32 teams to make things a lot easier.
Okay, I don't have anything else to ask you. If there's something else you wanted to tell me, otherwise I think we're done. Thank you very much.
Okay.